This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. According to that connoisseur of mysteries, Alexander Wolcott, the story we're bringing you in this half hour is the best whodunit ever written. Mr. Russell Crouse, the distinguished playwright, chose it as his favorite story, The Moonstone of Wilkie Collins. In certain parts of India, there are rumors in hushed tones about a certain yellow diamond, larger than the Kohinoor, more perfect than the Cullinan, more richly storied than the Sansi, which once hung about the throat of Queen Elizabeth of England. The earliest known traditions of this gem describe it as gleaming from the forehead of the four-handed Indian goddess of the moon. From its color, which grew and faded in brilliance with the waxing and waning of the moon, it became known as the Moonstone. In a shrine inlaid with precious stones, under a roof supported by pillars of gold, sits the moon goddess, her eyes closed, the ever-wakeful diamond in her forehead, looking out over the bowed heads of worshippers in her temple. The Brahmins say that Vishnu the Preserver breathed divinity into the Moonstone, and whatever mortal shall touch that sinister stone will find disaster and sudden death. Genghis Khan tried to carry the Moonstone back to Xanadu, but he died before it reached his caves of ice. The Islam conqueror Mahmud of Ghizni tore the stone from the statue's forehead and was found strangled in his sleep at the dark of the moon. For another awesome adventure of the Moonstone, I commend you to Mr. Wilkie Collins.
What is it?
I must have words with you.
You'll have to excuse me. My boat sails in an hour. I have very little time.
Oh, Mr. Blake, you have no less time than I, and no more. Here in India, you must have learned that time is as endless as the river Ganges, which cannot be hurried in its course and cannot be stayed.
Who are you? Why do you come uninvited to my hotel room?
I've come to warn you, your life is in great danger.
Why?
You have offended the goddess of the moon.
I have no time for superstitious ravings. Now get out. I have bags to pack. I'm leaving for England.
You will die, Franklin Blake.
Very well, I shall die. Men do.
You and whoever touches it shall be cursed. It will wither you as the frost withers the lotus in the desert night. To touch it is to go mad.
To touch what?
In the Hindu temple of the moon in the province of Kathiawar sits the granite image of the moon goddess, her four arms, stretching toward the four corners of the earth. And for 11 centuries, she has worn in her forehead the moonstone.
I know nothing of this.
You know nothing of a yellow-white diamond which shimmers with the luster of the Queen of Night?
Get out!
You do not know that the shrine of Kathiawar has been robbed, desecrated, the diamond snatched from the forehead of the moon goddess?
You accuse me?
I accuse no one. But do you imagine, Franklin Blake, that the moon goddess will suffer to lose her moonstone unrevenged?
Don't prattle to me of moon goddesses.
Do you fancy that the priest of Kathiawar will rest until the moonstone again reposes in its sacred shrine?
If you do not leave me, I shall ask the hotel authorities to remove you forcibly.
I shall go. Have a pleasant voyage to England, Mr. Blake. For I promise you, it is a voyage to disaster.
Rachel, my
sweet.
Dear, oh,
precious, adorable
I want to
Franklin.
Kiss for every hour I've been away from you.
Oh, it's been an eternity.
It has.
You have no idea how difficult it is for a girl, Franklin, to be 10,000 miles away from the man she's going to marry.
But I'm home, darling. That's all that matters. We'll publish the banns immediately. And in a month, the Church of England will miraculously transform Miss Rachel Verinder into Mrs. Franklin Blake.
Now, you must tell me what's in the boxes.
Presents. For the loveliest young lady in the British Empire. Here, this one's from me.
Oh, it has the scent of India about it. Oh, Franklin, it's precious.
It's a good luck Buddha. Rub his tummy, and he'll bring you the best luck in the world.
Guaranteed.
So the natives say.
Oh, thank you, dear. I shall treasure this always. What's in the little black box?
I don't know. It's from your great Uncle Jonathan.
Uncle Jonathan? But he's been dead for 3 years.
Well, his solicitor in Calcutta said I must deliver this to you.
How odd.
And he warned me to take particularly good care of it, so I didn't trust it with my trunks. I kept it with my personal things.
From Uncle Jonathan. Whatever could it...
Good Lord.
Can it be real?
I don't know.
I've never seen a diamond so yellow. See how it glitters in the candlelight.
I had no idea I was carrying anything so priceless.
Oh, it must be worth a fortune.
Wait, there's a note. What does it say?
It's from Uncle Jonathan. It must have been written just before he died. To my dearest Rachel, I bequeath my love and the moonstone.
The moonstone? What was that?
Oh, my little good luck Buddha. It's split in two.
Staggeringly beautiful.
Do you think it's genuine, Mr. Ablewhite?
Yes, Godfrey. Do you think it's real?
Oh, unquestionably. I'm quite a judge of gems, though, especially diamonds. I purchased a valuable pendant as a Christmas present for the late Mrs. Ablewhite. May God rest her. Cost me 200,000 guineas, but this stone, why? I would estimate it is even more perfect than the Koh-i-Noor and of greater size.
Worth, how much would you say?
My dear Franklin, I'm not a diamond merchant. I'm a mere dabbler in charities. Uh-huh. But I should guess this moonstone of yours, Rachel, would fetch £1,000,000.
£1,000,000?
Possibly £1,000,000, too. A handsome dowry, I must say.
I'm a very fortunate young lady, Godfrey.
And Franklin is a very fortunate young man.
Ablewhite, I trust that you don't insinuate I would marry Rachel for her fortune.
I insinuate? You gave the thought words, Mr. Blake.
See here, I won't be insulted by anyone.
Gentlemen, stop this bickering. Frankly, I'm surprised. Cousin Godfrey said nothing to offend you. Now shake hands and say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Ablewhite. Didn't mean to say anything out of line. I've just been, a little jumpy since I got back from India.
That's all right, old man. Well, I'll say good night.
Good night, Cousin Godfrey.
Have to get some sleep, you know. That's what you need, Blake. Sleep.
Sleep?
Oh. Poor Franklin. What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing but India fever, darling. A few more weeks of bracing English air, a few more weeks of being with you, and I'll be myself again. But I've had the most dreadful time sleeping.
I promise you, you shall sleep tonight.
Oh, if I only could.
Rosanna! Rosanna!
Yes, Miss Rachel?
Will you bring a packet of sleeping powders for Mr. Blake?
For Mr. Blake?
If you'd be so kind.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Strange child. Is she new to the household?
No, Franklin. Don't you remember her? Before you went away to India.
Little Rosanna? Oh, she's quite grown up now.
Quite.
Now, darling, where are you going to keep the moonstone?
I don't know. In my jewel casket, I suppose.
Oh, but you mustn't.
Well, why not?
Or would you leave £1,000,000 where any servant girl could pop it under her apron while she dusted your room?
Well, would you have me lock it up in a safe?
Naturally.
Oh, how distrustful you are, my dear. This is not a hotel. No one's going to run off with my diamond.
But a little caution, Rachel, after all.
Why are you so concerned about the moonstone, Franklin?
It's mine, darling, not yours.
Well.
Mr. Blake.
Oh, the sleeping powders, Franklin.
Oh, thank you.
Here you are, sir.
Why, Rosanna, how your hand is shaking.
Why, it's nothing. I'm quite all right. Forgive me, sir. Forgive me, Mr. Blake.
Well, what's wrong with her?
Don't you recognize the symptoms, my dear?
No.
The girl's falling in love with you. Go to bed, darling. Sleep well.
Wrong here. What time is it?
Past 3 a.m., Blake.
Godfrey saw Rosanna on the stairs, so he wakened the whole house.
Well, perhaps she was sleepwalking. Were you sleepwalking, child?
I hardly think so, Blake, because I saw her coming out of your bedroom.
Well, I've been sound asleep, had a heavy dosage of sleeping powders. I would have... Good Lord, the moonstone. Where did you put it, Rachel?
You know where I put it.
Your jewel casket. Quick. We must find out if it's still there.
No, Franklin. Don't go in my room.
I must. Darling, if your diamond has been stolen, we... Good Lord.
What is it, Blake?
Look in the jewel casket.
I know. The moonstone is gone.
I'm a respectable gentleman, sir. I refuse to be questioned like a common thief.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ablewhite, but a priceless diamond belonging to Miss Rachel Verinder has vanished. You were in the house at the time it was stolen. The government authorities insist that you cooperate with us in attempting to locate the gem.
I do not understand how this is any concern of the government authorities.
I called Sergeant Cuff into this investigation, Rachel. He's here at my request.
You had no business calling him, Franklin.
I would gather from your tone, Miss Verinder, that you have no desire to recover the moonstone, as it's called.
I refuse to answer.
Was the gem insured?
No. I just arrived with it from India. We hadn't had time to insure it.
Could it have been mislaid? Miss Verinder, with your permission, I'd like to look through your closets and wardrobe, just to make sure...
No.
Rachel.
Sergeant Cuff may not examine any part of my wardrobe.
But my...
Well, this makes things rather difficult. What about the servant girl, Rosanna?
You may search my room, sir. I don't know anything about the diamond. Not anything. I didn't even know there was such a thing in the house.
Mr. Ablewhite?
I am a wealthy man, sir. I have no need to steal diamonds to increase my fortune.
Mr. Blake, what have you to say?
Well, I...
What's that?
There was Faith. I saw Faith near the window.
Night Powell.
Quick, Sergeant, out the back way.
Whoever it is, we must hold them. Question.
Stop, whoever you are.
Don't try to run away. We'll fire on you.
The Indian.
May I introduce myself? My name is Baru, priest of the goddess of the moon. Ah, Mr. Blake, I believe we have met before in your hotel room in Calcutta.
What are you doing here?
My mission is identical with the one that concerns you, Sergeant Cuff. I, too, am looking for the moonstone.
Whenever a jewel disappears, there you have a story. Whether it happens in the Daily News, a novel by your bedside, or on this program. A gem belonging to Miss Rachel Verinder, the moonstone, has vanished. And the eminent Sergeant Cuff of Scotland Yard is on the trail of the famous diamond. We bring you Act Two of Mr. Russell Crouse's favorite story, The Moonstone.
Miss Verinder this afternoon?
I don't know, Sergeant. She won't see me. She won't speak to me. She's locked herself in her room.
Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. Came back here to England expecting to be married at once, expecting to find happiness. Instead...
What's the matter, Mr. Blake?
The Indian. This is exactly what he predicted. A voyage to disaster. Where is he? Do you have him in custody, Sergeant?
Our Indian friend, of course not.
But don't you suspect him of the robbery?
Oh, I suspect everyone, Mr. Blake. I can't throw every suspect into prison. And frankly, I don't think that the Indian could possibly have stolen the moonstone.
But he followed me all the way from Calcutta. He had every reason to steal the diamond.
Yes, yes, he has every reason to depart for India the instant the diamond's delivered into his hands. He's still here. Therefore, I conclude he is not the thief.
Then who did steal it? Where is the diamond now? It's your responsibility, Sergeant, to have it returned to Miss Verinder.
Even though the lady herself shows no interest in helping us find the stone. Such is the lot of a British detective. But no matter.
Rachel.
I will answer no questions.
Rachel, for the love of heaven, don't treat me like a stranger. What have I done to you? Why are you so cold?
I will answer no questions. I'm leaving the house for London immediately.
Miss Verinder.
Yes, Sergeant Cuff.
This unseemly haste cannot help arousing certain suspicions.
You suspect me of stealing my own diamond?
I only suspect that you know a great deal more about the disappearance of the moonstone than you're willing to tell.
I have nothing whatsoever to say. I shall be in the garden, Franklin. Will you call me when the carriage arrives?
Yes, of course, Rachel.
Now, come with me, Blake. Hurry.
Where?
To Miss Rachel's room. This may be our only chance to find what she's hiding from us. Oh, locked.
Of course it's locked.
Rosanna.
Miss Verinder's things are all packed and ready to be taken to London.
Rosanna, we must find Miss Rachel's diamond. You have a key to your mistress's room, haven't you?
But you can't have it. I won't let you in.
But for the sake of recovering a fortune, Rosanna, something worth £1,000,000 has been stolen.
I won't let you in. Please don't ask it. Please, Mr. Blake. For your own sake.
For my sake?
Hello.
What is it, Sergeant?
This door. Has it been freshly painted?
Why, yes, I believe Rachel said something to me about it. The door to her room was freshly lacquered just yesterday evening.
Then the paint would not have been dry at the time the robbery was committed.
Quite right. This sort of lacquer takes about 12 hours to set, I believe.
And this paint smear by the edge of the door may very well have been made by the person who stole the moonstone from Miss Verinder's jewel case.
No, don't listen to him, Mr. Blake. He's talking nonsense.
Quiet, Rosanna. Why, you're quite right, Sergeant. The paint is smeared.
And if we can find a garment with a paint smear on it, the chances are excellent that the owner of that garment is the person who stole the moonstone.
Rosanna, come back!
Stop her! Don't let her get away!
Rosanna!
Oh, you're hurting me!
What do you know about this? Tell me.
Don't threaten her, Blake. Get the keys from her if she has them.
No! No, beg you, Mr. Blake! Don't go into Miss Rachel's room!
Give me those keys! There you are, Sergeant.
Here's her luggage. Let's go through it together quickly.
All right. Well, there doesn't seem to be anything here.
Keep looking in the other bags. Look for a garment with a brown paint smear on it.
Ah, here's something.
No,
that's
please.
What she's been hiding.
A dressing gown.
Uh-huh. The paint smear seems to match. Are there any initials on it? Ah. F.B.
Sergeant Cuff, this dressing gown belongs to me. This is ridiculous. I couldn't have stolen the moonstone. I was asleep.
Were you, Mr. Blake?
Certainly. I didn't wake up until I heard Rosanna scream in the hallway. Let me think. I'd complained about not sleeping and... Rachel rang for the servant, and Rosanna came and brought me some sleeping powders.
Ah.
I remember her hand shook as she handed me the glass. I thought it was curious, and Rachel offered the absurd explanation that poor Rosanna was infatuated with me.
Mr. Blake, I think I have a solution to this mystery.
You know who stole the moonstone?
Not exactly, But I have a plan which may tell us how the diamond disappeared. Postpone your trip to London by this one night, Miss Verinder.
Kind. You left me no alternative, Sergeant. You take complete charge of my own house, refuse to summon me a carriage.
It's for your benefit, Miss Verinder, that I've asked you to watch with me here tonight.
What do you expect to see?
I don't know precisely. But we've tried this evening to reenact, as nearly as possible, the events which took place on the night the diamond was stolen. Mr. Blake is retired at the same time as he did on that night. He took exactly the same sleeping potion. We have placed a paste replica of the moonstone in your jewel case. And now, we have nothing to do but wait. Watch the hallway and see what happens.
Sergeant, no matter what happens, no matter what you see, I want you to know that Franklin Blake is not a thief.
We'll soon know. The door to his room is opening.
Franklin!
Shh. He's wearing the dressing gown. He's going straight to your room.
His eyes are so glassy.
He's sleepwalking. He doesn't know what he's doing. Now, see? He brushes against the door of your room, the door which was covered with wet paint.
He'll take the diamond out of the jewel box, just as he did before.
You saw him steal it then, the night the moonstone disappeared?
Yes.
But you wouldn't tell anyone because...
Because I love him. Oh, if he'd steal from me, he could never be a faithful husband, so how could I marry him? But I could never accuse Franklin as a criminal.
He's not a criminal. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's completely asleep.
If Franklin took the diamond in his sleep, then what became of it?
That's what we hope to find out.
But how can we find
the... Put the diamond in a safe place.
It's an anxiety complex. He's worried about your leaving the moonstone in a jewel box unlocked.
Get the diamond and lock it in the safe.
That's exactly the way he did it. He lifted the lid of my jewel box and took the stone out. But I didn't know he was sleepwalking.
What did you do after that?
Well, I noticed the paint smear on the door, and I knew Franklin's dressing gown must have done it. I knew this would incriminate him, so I called my maid servant.
Rosanna?
Yes. She went into Franklin's room and took his dressing gown, and I hid it among my things.
And Abel White saw Rosanna leaving Blake's room. But where was Abel White?
Abel White... Cousin Godfrey, where are you? You were here before.
Godfrey?
You took the diamond, Godfrey.
He's dropped it.
Just as he did before. Only Abel White was there to snatch it away.
But why would Cousin Godfrey steal my diamond?
Why? Because he was desperate for money. His philanthropies were just a cover-up, Miss Verinder. The whitewash for his financial manipulations. He'd suffered bad reverses. He was seriously in debt. He was in the hall that night, waiting to steal the gem himself, when Blake became his unknowing accomplice. Yes, Abel White is the man who stole your moonstone.
Oh, thank heaven it wasn't Franklin. Franklin! Oh, my darling.
What is... I don't understand. What am I doing here?
You've been sleepwalking, Mr. Blake.
I have?
Oh, Franklin, darling. And I thought you had stolen my diamond.
You can understand, I think, how delighted I was to have Rachel embrace me, to know that the marriage I'd looked forward to during the long months in India was soon to take place. As for the moonstone, well, Godfrey Abelwhite took it to London, then attempted to leave with it for Amsterdam. But he was found murdered, and the gem was taken from him. The murderer was never discovered. But Sergeant Cuff uncovered evidence that the man was of swarthy complexion and answered to the description of the Hindu high priest who had followed me from Calcutta to England. No one knows where the moonstone is today, but travelers from the inland plateaus of Kathiawar tell me that there stands behind a curtain of trees a shrine to the goddess of the moon. On a high throne is the dreadful statue, its four arms reaching toward the four corners of the earth. And in its forehead, the gleaming yellow diamond called the Moonstone.
Is it still there, the Moonstone? I do not know. The years pass and repeat each other. The same events revolve in the cycles of time. What will be the next adventures of the Moonstone? Who can tell? You've been listening to The Moonstone by Wilkie Collins, the favorite story of Mr. Russell Krauss. Sergeant Cuff was a versatile young man from Chicago named Marvin Miller. And from Weems, Scotland, equally versatile, came Thomas Freeburn Smith, who played Franklin Blake. We all hope you enjoyed our favorite story production of The Moonstone. If you dial this way next week, you'll hear Jane Austen's touching and amusing story about how a mother succeeded in marrying off a house full of daughters. Pride and Prejudice, the favorite story choice of the famous American artist and scenic designer, Mr. Oliver Smith. We hope you'll be listening.